everything becomes a threat to the family. Everyone becomes a potential enemy. Fear becomes the engine that drives the whole thing. When this happens, your default response to people who are different or who challenge you can turn from compassion to contempt. You become less like God and more like the Godfather. In those times, instead of being a tool to fit your heart for invitation, faith can become a weapon to defend yourself against the encroaching sinners threatening God's people, whom we conveniently always consider ourselves among. Religion becomes a cold, cruel distance maker, pushing from the table people who aren't part of the brotherhood and don't march in lockstep with the others. After a few years in Philadelphia, we begin what would be a long season of ministry in the Southeastern Bible Belt, which would provide another system shock to my Yankee religious sensibilities. I can remember the first time I felt like I hadn't just taken a new job, but unknowingly joined the mafia. I'd been on staff in a large megachurch for only a few months. We were in a lay leadership meeting when one of my coworkers matter-of-factly blurted out, "Everyone knows no self-respecting Christian can actually be a Democrat." There seemed to be complete and quite passionate agreement around the circle, with several choice editorial comments offered. Apparently, I hadn't gotten the memo in seminary. Further commentary on the gay agenda followed, and I could feel my face getting hotter. I wanted to respond, but I was just self-aware enough and just green enough to keep my mouth shut while boiling over internally. Rather than offering a rebuttal, I acquiesced. Instead of speaking a dissenting voice into the discussion, I yielded to the room and to the status quo. It was my first taste of the way the deep connection in the church can encourage its resisting the bigger table, and of how easy it is to be complicit in it. I began to realize how much our desire for community can hinder our willingness to be authentic, especially when the consensus seems not in our favor. We religious folk seem to need our deal breakers, our litmus test issues and categories and stances that help us identify our common enemy and separate ourselves from them. These imagined adversaries help rally people together and help forge the very fierce familial bond we experience in the church that can feel so life-giving when we're there. And this only works as long as the world is sharply delineated in stark black and white, with the good and bad guys clearly defined. It's why so often in the church today, our points of differences, political affiliations, theological positions, and social stances, which could expand the table of our understanding, all become so divisive and so polarizing, because we need them to be to keep the battle lines visibly drawn. The narrative of our rare goodness and the evil horde threatening it requires this war rhetoric and this fear posture to stay alive. To endure any differences in such a desperate spiritual warfare environment feels like a defeat. Compromise becomes a mortal sin, and so we wear our intolerance for the manufactured other like a moral badge of honor. We double down on exclusion, certain that this is defending the faith. The lack of theological diversity within local church communities and online communities is prohibiting the bigger table we could be creating there. Instead of learning to endure and bear with one another, we simply